The gospel from this morning refers to two old people, and I would like to tell you a little bit about my mother. She was nearly 91 when she died this summer. She had been unwell for a few weeks and had been living in lockdown for about 4 months. She was ready to die and woke up that morning asking to see my sister and saying that she wanted God to take her and she wanted to go and see my father, who had died nearly 25 years earlier. Now, it may seem odd to say, but she took an active part in her death. There were no drugs involved, but she knew she was dying and she faced it with dignity and peace. She was able to receive communion and spent a bit of time with my two sisters who lived nearby. She died that afternoon and people were surprised how quickly she went. Now, much as we grieve the loss of our mother in so very many ways, the way she died gives us comfort. Mom had experienced health issues over the past decade, and there were several times when we thought she would not survive, but she always came through. I asked her about this one time, and she said, "Well, I don't have much choice." She firmly believed that, and undergirding that was her faith. I can't help but think that the way our society is headed, there is going to come a time, or perhaps the time has come, when we see an elderly person lying in excruciating pain with a broken hip and shoulder and the complications of congestive heart failure, as my mother was at one point, and say that the compassionate thing to do would be to put this person out of her misery. But that would have interfered with God's plan for her. In recent years, Mom's life had certainly become limited. She could no longer live on her own. She had to walk with a walker. She had to depend on others for transportation, bathing, meals, laundry, and so on. But her life was important. These limitations did not devalue her. We have a horror of becoming a burden. It is interesting because when we are born, we are absolutely and completely dependent. And although that dependence decreases, it does so gradually over years. And yet, generally speaking, at least, we do not regard babies as burdens. They are a gift, a joy. They fulfill a desire within us to nurture and care for someone else. So why is it shameful to require care at the other end of our life? I think our need to control our own part of it is part of this. I think also that the elderly, particularly those who require a lot of care, remind us of our own journey to death. It has been said that people don't fear death so much as they fear the process. Our life with Christ and our life as the body of Christ implies an interdependence that flies in the face of this prevailing attitude of independence. In the gospel this morning, we hear about Jesus' presentation in the temple. And this has me thinking about the bookends of our life. In this story, we have a baby, a person just beginning life, a person with years ahead of him. And then we have Simeon and Anna, two people who are at the end of their lives, two people whose years are now behind them. The story of Jesus' birth continues to be marked by unlikely people. These people generally are from lowly stations in life. They are not people associated with positions of power and privilege. There are no thrones or wealth or social rank. The lead characters in today's story are anything but powerful, no matter what society they are placed in. The two turtle doves or two pigeons that Mary and Joseph bring are according to Levitical law for sacrifice. Those who could afford it would bring a lamb. So their gift establishes that they are poor. The characters of this story consist of a poor couple, a helpless baby, an old man, and an old widow who apparently does not even have a home. The way the world has treated people in such stations would imply that they don't have a lot of value. And here they are, key figures in a key story. And all along, this is where God has set the story of God's saving works, not among the established, not among the elite, not among the rich. In this story, a poor but faithful couple bring their baby to be presented. An elderly man, Simeon, says that in the person of the baby Jesus, he has seen God's salvation. And I want to look a little more closely at Simeon and Anna. Here are two wise and elderly people. They have had their eyes fixed on God for years. Simeon is described as being righteous and devout, having the Spirit resting upon him. Anna is referred to as a prophet, which is a rare designation for women. Rembrandt has painted powerful pictures of both Simeon and Anna. I'd encourage you to have a look at them. You can look at these blind faces and think, in our world, would these people on the street be recognized or acknowledged? In our world, where we go to great lengths to deny age and its accompanying signs, can we see the beauty in these paintings, in these faces that Rembrandt has portrayed? During this pandemic, people have fought against restrictions, saying that COVID only affects old people, so somehow they jump to the absurd conclusion that because old people's days are numbered, they are not of value. The pandemic has also brought to light the appalling conditions that some of our elderly are living under. There have been people trying to draw attention to this for years, but society has turned a blind eye. The director of long-term care in Ontario said at the outset of the pandemic, "We have been on the edge of the cliff for years. The pandemic has just pushed us over." And make no mistake, the way assisted suicide is being normalized, the solution to care for the elderly will not be to provide expensive, appropriate care. There will be a careful, attractive language to justify what it's something that is actually a decision that's fueled by economics. But we are moving more and more to an attitude that only the useful, only the attractive need apply. Those with disabilities, those who are aging and dependent, are an embarrassment, a financial drain, a stark reminder of our own inherent fears. How many of us have said, "If I ever get that way, just shoot me"? We are terrified of losing control of our lives. We see that as a mortifying way of being. Weakness is to be avoided at all costs. As we are more and more taught that we can be anything we want to be, weakness confronts and dismays us. Even our definitions of what constitutes strength and weakness and success is skewered in 2020 Western culture. In so many cultures, the elders have been revered, respected, and lovingly cared for. There has been dignity in caring for someone who has been a significant person in yours or someone else's life. I think that in caring for our elders are allowing others to care for them. We are entering the life cycle with more honesty and integrity. My mother was fortunate that her last 2 years were spent in a wonderful place, appropriately called Good Shepherd. She was well cared for and was treated with great dignity and respect. She was content, and she continued to evolve and grow as a human being. She prayed and read scripture daily. She found ways to become involved in the life of Good Shepherd. She made new friends. She began the ritual of saying grace at her table, which has continued. She got to know the people who cared for her. Their relationship was not just a utilitarian thing. They cared for her and made her feel valued and safe. She enriched their lives and gave them purpose. At the time of her death, their love of her was evident. I believe that the last 2 years of Mom's life was significant. The place where Mom lived had various levels of care. I realized that we were blessed and that Mom did not lose her faculties, and so the mother we knew was with us to the end. However, I believe that those with dementia also have reason and purpose. As the people who have dedicated their lives to their care would attest to, if nothing else, they serve as reminders that no matter how much we try to control our lives, no matter what level of entitlement we live with, we are ultimately not in control. In the eyes of our loving God, we are all in need of God's saving works. They remind us of the privilege of caring for God's children. Just as babies do, their care touches in people a nurturing nature. Anna and Simeon's years of faith and devotion has allowed them to see with the eyes of faith. We have the expression, seeing is believing, but as one commentator pointed out, in this case, Simeon and Anna saw because they believed. This ability to see God and God's salvation came with years of sacrifice and prayer. This seeing with the eyes of faith also took them outside of themselves. In Simeon's song of praise, he sees that Jesus is salvation for all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. Simon's joy, which came in the form of a wonderful song of praise, and Anna's praise in sharing the news of salvation are not for themselves personally, but for others. These heralds will not live to see the works of Jesus, but they will die with the joyful knowledge of the fulfillment of God's plan for the people they will leave behind. Just hours before Mum died, Bishop Michael Hawkins came to give her communion. Afterwards, they had a nice conversation. Bishop Michael said that in 32 years of ministry, he had never seen such a holy death. One of the significant things he said was that she was herself. She knew she was dying this time, and she was at peace. She continued to care about giving things to us. I texted my sister, saying to tell Mom I loved her and was with her in spirit. The message back from Mom was, "That's great," and she sent her love. In her passage from this life to the next, although she remained utterly herself, we could see her continue to evolve. She began speaking of wanting to be with my father after nearly 25 years of being a widow, and she had never spoken this way before. For example, she might say, "Your father would be very proud of you," or "Dad would have loved these great-grandchildren." But she didn't speak of Dad in the first person, nor did she speak of any heavenly reunion. But now I believe that as she was leaving this world, the next world was being revealed to her. This time, her time had come, and she knew it. What a final, wonderful gift she gave us. Mum had endured some real suffering over the past few years, and in her hospital care, she had not always been treated with the dignity that she should have been. She endured it. What lessons she learned during the suffering, I will not ever entirely know, but I do know that she had a faith that was the underpinning of who she was, foibles and all. Simeon, and Anna, faithful people whom God blessed with the joyful news of salvation. Faithful people for whom the light in them recognizes the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. Unassuming, wrinkled, solitary people, given the joy of seeing and the task of proclaiming the good news. They were not deprived of their vocation to bear witness in their old age. As well as within our society at large, our parishes have in them Simeons and Annas. The past 10 months have been trying, even excruciating for them. Do we value them? Do they know they are valued, not just merely taking up space? How do our actions show that? Do we allow our elders to bear witness in their old age, to live out their vocation? Can we have faith to believe that God does not cease to speak to each of us? That age and or weakness is not seen as a hindrance to God. Now, in the eyes of the government, I became a senior citizen this past June. With the death of my mother, my siblings and I are now the elder generation in our family. What are the messages God wants us to hear? What are the messages God wants us to share? Do we believe that in God's eyes, we are still of value? The persons of Simeon and Anna illuminate many things that God values that the world does not always take seriously. The elderly, the poor, women, babies, the religious. This is a message that in God's eyes we have honor and dignity, and that we are to see that in others. There is dignity in aging, in suffering, and we are called to care for others, not rid ourselves of the responsibility or inconvenience. For all we know, they could be the heralds of the good news. We tend to focus on the merry part of Christmas, and that makes it difficult for many people. There are challenging themes, though, throughout the Christmas season. Yesterday, we acknowledged Stephen, the first martyr, and might I add, the first deacon. And tomorrow, we will remember the children killed at Herod's hand, the holy innocents. These are not easy stories, but the reassuring message of Christmas is that it is situated in stories of poverty, the marginalized, the suffering, and strangers. There are stories of hope through the salvation for all people. And in today's gospel, that story of joy is seen through the eyes of two humble elders. I would like to read an excerpt from a poem by Mary Lou Sleevey, simply entitled Anna. Anna had seen it all. Grown-ups talk anxiously about fulfilling the dreams of children. Anna's Jesus moment is an elder's consummate belief in a dream come true. She speaks truth beautifully, naturally. The gift of prophecy is backed by her life prayer of 84 years. Stretch marks from solitude and solicitude in solidarity show in the wrinkling, giving her face its certain lift. Anna of the free spirit is no solemn ascetic. She talks to the baby as well as about him. She shoulders him closely, absorbing his softness, his heartbeat, his breathing, experiencing a benediction of years between them. This is manifestation embodied. May we daily give thanks for faithful elders. May we daily give thanks and strive to serve those weaker, dependent human beings among us. For as we have served the least of these, we have served Jesus Christ. Amen.